Good evening. We are in chapters 16, 17, and 18 today of Acts, and we have Paul and Silas starting on their second missionary journey. And chapter 16, we are introduced to Timothy, certainly one of the most important characters in Paul's life. He means so much to him, so much to his ministry, so much to him personally, and we see him come up over and over again, certainly two letters written to him, and we see him in a lot of things. I want to read a passage for you in chapter 16, starting in verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do we ascribe to the Holy Spirit things that happen to us in our normal everyday life? Paul and his companions wanted to go into these other areas, and something stopped them. It doesn't seem like he had visions, or it doesn't seem like the Holy Spirit stood in front of them and held up their hand. Maybe their visas weren't cleared, or maybe they couldn't get passage on a boat. Who knows what it was that stopped them, but they concluded that the Holy Spirit had kept them from doing that. You know, maybe sometimes if we gave more credit to the Holy Spirit for the things that happen to us in our everyday lives, we might just see him act more obviously in our life. Just a little side comment. We go from there into Macedonia, which is the first stop is at Philippi, and we meet Lydia, and then we run into Paul and Silas in prison, and we run into the Philippian jailer, and you all know the story of the Philippian jailer. They leave there, and they go into Thessalonica in chapter 17, and one more time, there's a riot in the city, and they go from there into Berea, and they are continually having problems. They go from there to Athens. In Athens, we have this big, not confrontation so much, but this assembly on Mars Hill. Now, sometimes Mars Hill is looked at as just Paul presenting to a bunch of the thinkers in Athens. The Areopagus is actually a tribunal or a trial. Paul is potentially on trial for his life here. It's not really sure exactly how that is, but this is where they tried people as well as had just theological discussions. And Paul makes some of his strongest, most eloquent presentation here of who God is. And I like at the end of it, it says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." And at that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. In other words, all of that eloquence didn't achieve much for Paul. He then goes from there straight to Corinth. One thing to note here, now is not the time to do it because of the way we're reading it, but you should go read these different books. You know, Paul is going, you're reading here about the history of going to these places, but Thessalonica, Paul wrote two letters to them. Paul wrote to the Philippians. Paul is going to write to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians. He doesn't write specifically to the Athenians. But when you read the first chapter of Corinthians, right after leaving, and you realize he's just left Athens, and he says things like, "God's wisdom is wiser than the wisdom of man." He says, "I determined to know nothing among the Corinthians other than Christ and him crucified." It's interesting to read that in 1 Corinthians right after you see what happened in Athens, and he goes from there to Corinth, and you see that in Corinth, and so you get into the what's going on in Corinth, and I think that's very, very interesting. When you get to the end of chapter 18, all I want to point out to you in chapter 18 is that you have Priscilla and Aquila running into this guy Apollos. And when you get to Apollos, they find out that Apollos is very well learned in the Hebrew scriptures. And he knows about Jesus, but he only knows the baptism of John. And it says, and they taught him about the baptism of Jesus. And you have to say to yourself, I wonder what it is that they taught him. And I've heard lots of lessons on that. But I want to suggest to you that if you will just continue to read, Luke answers that question in the first six verses of chapter 19. So don't just stop and think you got to go look in other places, because Luke is going to answer the question, what did they teach him, in the first six verses of chapter 19. Now, the problem is he's going to introduce as many questions as he introduces answers, but I think it's interesting. Pay attention to that. I hope you enjoy the readings, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great evening. God bless you.